Laura Cumming reminds us, Renoir painted Monet painting his garden in 1873. The two pictures hang next to each other at the start of this exhibition. With their abundance of red dahlias and creamy clouds, their blue-shuttered houses and soft summer light, each painting looks remarkably like the other, except that where Renoir portrays his friend, Monet is nose-deep in blossoms. Perhaps I owe it to flowers, he said, that I became a painter. This startling statement appears in large letters in the opening gallery, as well it might, for there is no doubting whose show this is. Gardens and Monet are such a heady, coffer-filling combination that it would be extraordinary if the Royal Academy stinted on Monet's visions of the gardens he created at Argenteuil, Vétheuil, and Giverny. But what's marvelous is the way these paintings are planted at intervals all the way through the show until they build to a grand finale at the end, a spectacular vision of water lilies and of modern art. Monet was not alone in digging, planting, weeding, and pruning, and then painting the results. Many of his colleagues, Renoir, Pizarro, Bonnard, and Cézanne, were gardeners too, and the argument of this show is that the growing fashion for gardening in the 19th century is reflected in the avant-garde art. Every kind of garden is represented: rose, herb, cottage, vegetable, knot, all the continental varieties. And anyone who loves white gardens will be in heaven with so many glimmering scenes of pale hydrangeas and white lilies. But when the narrative turns to imaginary gardens, the show really flowers. Here are climps, chrysanthemums, and petunias rising up in the form of a spectral bride-like figure, and Van Gogh's hectic celebration of a garden at Auvers, painted just before his death, in which every pulsing mark radiates with life. The curators have managed to borrow a vast diptych by Edouard Vuillard, in which dreamy figures are almost melting into a garden that is itself melting into a faraway landscape, sultry, secretive, and mysteriously pale. The image is hypnotic. Words from a review by Laura Cummings in The Guardian, January 31st, 2016, an exhibition at the Royal Academy of Arts in London that ran from January 30th to April 20th this year. If you didn't have a chance to visit the show, the producers at Exhibition on Screen have produced a feature-length documentary film, So That We Can, taking viewers through the exhibition with expert analysis, biographies of the artists, and behind-the-scenes experiences. Titled Painting the Modern Garden, From Monet to Matisse, it will be screened as part of the Summer 2016 Film Festival at the Dietrich Theatre in Tunkhannock. Ronnie Harvey is Assistant General Manager at the Dietrich, and he coordinates these festivals, seasonal festivals that are growing so quickly that very shortly the summer festival will run into the start of the fall festival, fall into the spring festival. Ronnie explains.
I'm right now doing the next festival, and this one hasn't even started. So I'm looking at my timeline going, oh, I really need to start getting that fall one ready. It's just constant now, and the support from the community has been amazing. Like, they want it so bad. As soon as it's done, they're asking, can we get tickets for the next one? What movies are you playing here? Can we help you decide these movies? So it's been awesome, and we are so happy, and we're really looking forward to continuing to expand it at some point. Last year we started, for the spring, we started doing two screens. We were showing it on two screens during the day because people could have more options, and now we're thinking, well, we have two other screens just sitting there. Darn, why don't we throw on another one? Our booker is starting to, he's going crazy because he's like, are you sure? You're already the biggest festival that I have out of all of his theaters. We have the longest festival that he even knows of. And we keep going.
What do you attribute it to?
I really think it's just that desire for art films in our area. They've the festivals years past, they started getting used to those kinds of movies and really looking forward to those kinds of movies. So now that they're getting even more options, they can't satiate their need for them. So I don't see it stopping. I don't see it going down. I don't see anything. In the near future, we're just going to keep going.
We've talked so often about the way it feels at the Dietrich Theater. It's a different experience than going to the multiplex. It just is.
I hear it every single day. I think somebody makes that comment at least once a day. I really love coming to your theater because it feels like I'm at home, or I feel it's so pretty to come up, take the drive, and the staff is so friendly and welcoming. It feels like everyone's included. Everyone's together. And that's all that we could ask for. That's what we strived to do from the beginning. And so that we're still accomplishing that is a great, great feat.
How do you do it?
Well, I don't watch everything. What I do is I do see some of the films prior. I've seen three of these already, and I can't say enough great things about them. But I take the advice of my film booker. I also take the advice of online critics, and I look at the schedule of the movies that are going to be out around that time. And so I see what's getting the most critical acclaim, what has the best story behind it, what actors, what prestigious actors are playing in them. And so I take that all together, I look at them, I have a list of like 50 movies at that point, and so then I watch all the trailers back to back to back. So it gives me, and then I go, okay, what really will fit with our audience? So then I narrow it down. And then it's what's available. And then sometimes I go to the booker and he goes, you're not going to get that. Don't try to get that. It's coming out way too soon. So it's a working together of a whole bunch of people and a whole bunch of thoughts that make it happen.
Here we are now, summer 2016. What do you have on offer for us?
Well, the opening night films are Love and Friendship, which is the adaptation of the Jane Austen comedy. It stars Kate Beckinsale in a deliciously wicked performance. And if you don't know the story of Love and Friendship, it's a Jane Austen novel, so it's set back in the 18th century England. It's about a beautiful young widow. She is visiting her in-laws because there's a lot of rumors going around about her, let's say, dalliances in the community. And she needs to find a proper husband, and three suitors come. They all have their own intricate, you know, they all have their own peculiar qualms about them, and it's just Jane Austen at its best is what I've been told. I haven't seen it yet, but it has 100% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes right now. Everybody loves it. So you're going to love it too. That's what we believe.
And it sounds like a good summer movie.
It is. It's summer. It's fun. It's a comedy we need, fresh and enjoyable. And everything that I've heard about it has been amazing. Our second film is something that we've never done before. It's a documentary. We've never done a documentary on opening night because documentaries are for a particular set of people. Some people don't like to watch a documentary. But this one's called Dark Horse. Dark Horse is about a Welsh town that got together and they bought a racehorse. They're a poor community. The family was a barmaid and her husband, and they didn't have a lot. So they decided, they saw this horse, and they don't even know what drove them to do it, but they wanted to do it. And so they bought this horse, united as a community to try to win the race. And I'm not going to give anything away because it's a true story, but they do win. But they win, and it inspires you that you can be anything you want to be. And not only that, but the community came together. And we know people love horses, and we know that people love feel-good, true, inspirational stories. So we thought, you know what, we're going to show it. So that's our second film. Three films that I've already seen, and I can't speak highly enough about all three of them. The first one was my favorite movie of the year so far, Sing Street. Sing Street is the story of a young boy in 1980s Ireland. And he gets transferred to a new school, and he has no friends, and he meets a mysterious girl across the street, and she's very rock. She has a very rock mentality about her. So he gets up the courage and goes to talk to her. And in the conversation, he asks her if she wants to be in his music video for his band. And she reluctantly agrees. But the only problem is he doesn't have a band. He doesn't have a music video. He has nothing. So now it's him trying to get together the band to make the music video to get the girl. And it's so much fun because it's not only about the relationship between them, but it's about how they grow into this real band, and music changes his life for the better. And it was absolutely my favorite movie of the year. The music is so fun. It's by John Carney. He's the one who did Once and Begin Again. So that's how you know it's a great movie. Eye in the Sky. Eye in the Sky stars Helen Mirren. Can't go wrong there. Helen Mirren, the late Alan Rickman, and Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad. Eye in the Sky is about drone warfare. So it's kind of a tricky subject. But what I love most about the movie is that there's not a lot that happens within the movie. It's more about what potentially could happen. So you're on the edge of your seat not knowing what's going to happen. They go on a mission to capture who they believe are high-ranking terrorists on the terror watch list. And as they're watching, they come to find out that there's a suicide mission like happening within the house. So the mission goes from capture to kill. And when they're about to set off the drone, a 9-year-old girl ends up in the crossfire. So now the highest ranking officials in the U.S. and British government, they're all fighting over what they should do, because now they're potentially risking the life of an innocent nine-year-old girl. So the tension builds so much in that movie. I was on the edge of my seat for most of it going, don't do it. But it's a great movie because it says something about warfare and morality and where we are. Acted brilliantly by the three main stars are brilliant. I'll move on to a comedy. I know you like when we go really strong, you like to get into that comedy right afterwards. The other movie that I saw is Doe. Doe's really fun. Doe stars Jonathan Pryce, he's in Game of Thrones right now. And it's the story of a Jewish baker in London, and his business is going under, but he decides to hire a young Muslim assistant. His mother wanted him to get out of the house because he had just been recently in trouble, so she wanted him to find a job, something to do. And unbeknownst to her, he had a side job of his own selling marijuana. So he starts working with the baker, and his stash accidentally falls in the bread dough. It falls in the bread dough, and he doesn't say anything, and they sell the bread the next day, and then it starts flying off the shelves. The town is hooked on the bread, and it's the story of two people, unlike an unlikely friendship of people, coming together and the business booming and finding common ground within themselves. And it's just a wonderfully funny, adorable little story, and I loved it. Comedy-wise, we have Hello, My Name is Doris, that stars Sally Field. She's an older woman who has never really done anything for herself that she really wanted to do. And so she meets a young, I would say 30s man, and she kind of has an attraction to him. And she thinks that there might be an attraction back to her. Her friends do not want her to, but she starts looking through the internet to find things on about him, and with help from her friend's granddaughter, obviously, because she doesn't know how to use the internet, and she starts following him around, like following him to places, and she starts becoming really close to his tight group of friends. And they think she's making a fool of herself, but she takes the chance anyway to try and see if there's something there. And I have not seen it, but everyone who's seen it has said it was amazing and sweet and wonderful. So, I mean, how could you go wrong with Sally Field, honestly? So there are some funny movies here. Let's get that straight. Another movie that's similar to Doe, I think, in just the story-wise, is Sweet Bean. And it's about a Japanese baker. He has a little pastry truck. And an elderly woman comes up to him and says she has this great recipe for red bean paste. And he doesn't believe her. She's just a crazy old woman in his mind. But he tries it out, and it's the best he's ever had. So he decides to bring her on as his helper, and the business booms again. Another situation like Doe, but I won't tell you what it is, but unexpected circumstances might force them apart, might break their relationship. So it's another sweet, wonderful little story. And I love cooking movies. I love baking movies. I love stuff like that. I love movies that you're dealing with an art form like that.
What's this Infinity movie?
The Man in New Infinity. That stars Dev Patel and Jeremy Irons. And it's another true story of the friendship that forever changed mathematics. In 1913, an Indian mathematics genius traveled to Trinity College, and he was apprenticed by G.H. Hardy. And it's the story of him having all the proofs, knowing all of these solutions to a problem, and everyone around him not seeing the proofs and not understanding how he knows these things. And he said it just comes to him. So it's about those people that don't understand taking it out on him, and not only him, but who he is as a person, because he's from a different land. And so it's a lot about the immigrant life and how he had something in him that just math was part of him. And so it's their relationship and how they changed each other and math. We also have a movie called Dipan, and it won the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival this year, and it's also about the immigrant life. A civil war breaks out in Sri Lanka, and a soldier decides to pose as a husband and father to another two people. So they pretend to be a family to escape Sri Lanka, and they escape to Paris. So it's very timely worldviews when it comes to that. And when they arrive in Paris, the family has to establish a new life, only to find out that there's violence there as well. They're also being attacked from that side as well. So it's a moving, gripping story that I think everyone should see.
And you are always good about bringing us things that relate to the visual arts and film.
We have two, three, depending on what your art form is. We have two documentaries. One is Francophonia, and that's about the occupation of the Louvre during the Nazi occupation. And the documentary is done in a way where you're going to see depictions of certain people from the time within there discussing, you know, how they protected the artwork and what the artwork meant to them and what the Louvre meant to everyone. So that's supposed to be a great film. We also have Our Last Tango. That's a dance art form. That is about the most famous Argentinian tango couple and how they danced for 50 years together. They fell in love, they fell out of love, and the story is them telling to a group of young tango dancers, reliving the life that they shared together through choreographed dances throughout the whole movie. And then we also have Painting the Modern Garden, another exhibition on screen. We do them each time now where it focuses on a particular artist or a particular kind of art. And this is Painting the Modern Garden from Manet to Matisse. And so it gives you all the styles of how the garden has influenced artists throughout time.
We have quite a tango community here in northeastern Pennsylvania with the Lucys in Factoryville.
Yes, they will actually be, because they actually danced with this couple in Argentina, and they will be at one. I cannot, off the top of my head right now, remember the exact date. But if you go to our website, you'll see the information for which showing they will be at to discuss the tango. We try to bring something within the community that relates to these movies as well.
If you can't get to opening night, you give us multiple chances to see each of these.
And now, last year, we had only had 1 week of Summerfest, but if you look, there's two this year. So now we're at 2 weeks, so you have ample time to see any of these films.
Tell us the website and how we find out more.
It's DietrichTheater.com. You can also call 996-1500 for any information, or you can visit our Facebook page. All the information's up there.
Ronnie Harvey, Assistant General Manager at the Dietrich Theater in Tunkhannock, coordinator of the quarterly film festivals presented by the Dietrich, speaking with us about Dietrich Summerfest 2016, this year 2 weeks of films, getting underway this evening, Friday evening, July 15th at 6, with the opening night gala featuring two films, Love and Friendship and Dark Horse. And there will be a chance to have some refreshments as well. And they'd love it if you would make reservations if you think you can attend this evening's movies at the Dietrich, the opening night gala. But then things get underway with A Vengeance tomorrow and continue through the 28th and 29th of July. On the 29th, it is a 1 o'clock in the afternoon post-festival discussion, Summerfest post-festival discussion, led by Ronnie Harvey, our guest today. And you just show up and get together and talk about the movies you've seen as part of the festival. We have a chance to see films now through Thursday, July 28th, at the Dietrich Theatre, 60 East Tioga Street in Tunkhannock. And you can find information on the website DietrichTheater.com, DietrichTheater.com. Another special event, we're hearing some tango music here, another special event Ronnie alluded to, the Summerfest Tango showing on Saturday, July 23rd at 4:30 in the afternoon, before the showing of Our Last Tango, that documentary telling the true story of the life and love of Argentina's most famous tango dancers who met as teenagers and danced together for 50 years. regional tango dancers Karen and Mike Lucy of the Northeastern Pennsylvania Tango in the Tent will talk about their tango lessons with this couple and how any of us can learn the tango and get involved in the organization NEPA Tango in the Tent. That's Saturday, July 23rd at 4:30 at the Dietrich Theater, and that's just before the screening of the documentary Our Last Tango. For more information, on the web, DietrichTheater.com, Dietrich Summerfest 2016, now through the 28th of July, with a Summerfest post-festival discussion Friday, July 29th at 1:00.